In the first part of the lesson, we have seen two possible conditioning networks that brings the voltage signal coming from the piezoelectric accelerometer and transform it into a voltage that can be sent to the analog to digital converter and then to the microprocessor. We have demonstrated that this voltage is in both the cases proportional to the acceleration of the object on which the accelerometer has been mounted, and that the sensibility of the transducer is linear and is preserved in both the electronic circuits we considered we attached to it. Just to summarize, slide 53 shows both the solutions and offers a small comparison in terms of benefit and drawbacks. The benefits have been already basically described. Now let's see the drawbacks. Looking at the charge or current amplifier, we see that to keep the operational amplifier working, some offset currents are required. If you would look inside the amplifier, we would see that the internal electronic circuits feature the presence of a couple of transistors, and these transistors, to be kept in the linear activity zone, must be fed with small currents in their base poles. We know that the transistors are characterized by three connections, three poles, namely the base, the emitter, and the collector. To assure that the transistor is on, it is necessary to provide a small quantity of charge to the base pole of the transistor, and this charge is unfortunately absorbed by that quantity provided by the transducer. This means that to keep the amplifier stadium while working, some of the signal that is proportional to the acceleration is subtracted, and this subtraction affects in some sense, in some way, the quality of the measurement. In the slide, the expression Q equal to minus 1 on R integral function of E dt plus the integral of the offset current in dt, all these quantities multiplied by 1 on C, this formula expresses such a kind of problem that is well known. Of course, we are talking about a source of inaccuracy in the measurement that remains kept fixed to 1%, 2% of the measurement. But in any case, there is this problem that affects the precision of the measurement itself. Another issue that must be considered and corrected is related to the fact that the capacitor will accumulate the charge coming from the transducer, and it is necessary to cancel, to discharge, to flush, let's say, this charge accumulated before performing another measurement. Otherwise, we will start from an offset voltage due to the previous set of measurement that nothing have to matter, to have relationship with the present measurement. This is typically done through a switch that is shown in the figure with those dotted lines, And basically, a switch is a transistor or a MOS device whose base or whose gate, in the case we are considering a MOS, is activated by a suitable command that comes from the microprocessor. That is, the microprocessor will start the acquisition of the measurement and will provide the discharging phase that reset the content of the capacitor. On the contrary, if we look at the voltage amplifying stage, we see that all these problems are absent. We don't have any capacity, so we don't have any offset due to the accumulations of several measurements. We don't have offset currents because we see that the voltage provided by the transducer is connected directly to the input, to the positive input of the amplifier, which features an infinite input impedance. On the other hand, the problem in this case could be in the connection between the transducer itself and the input of the operational amplifier. In the figure, this problem is not shown, but if the connection is somehow long, that is, if this electronic circuit is not so close to the transducer, it is possible that some parasite capacitors present in the environment disturb the output signal. They will act like, let's say, capacitors that will be present between the wire that connects the transducer to the operational amplifier and the ground. This problem could be present, could have been present, even in the charge amplifying stage. But in this case, the connection between the wire and the ground with every parasite capacitor is made not effective due to the fact that the wire, if you remember what we have said in the previous part of the lesson, is itself connected to the ground, since the two input points of the operational amplifier are virtually short in short circuit, I mean, virtually connected, let's say. So, parasite capacitors are present, but their influence, their disturbance effect on the quality of the signal is in practice completely neglectable. This is not the case of the voltage amplifier, and this is the main drawback of such a kind of stage. So, we can observe that in this case the voltage amplifier that solves the problems relative to the offset currents and to the need of periodically discharging the capacitor offers such a kind of problem that instead is not present in the case of the charge amplifier. In the figure are shown some characteristics of the accelerometer itself, like the current in output, the band. We see that we can reach in this case 1 kHz, but we can overcome this threshold, the sensibility that is very high, and the weight range that is not so high, up to 50 grams. That is, such a kind of accelerometer could be considered good also for those applications into which we are envision wearable devices. A last consideration is about a parasite capacitor. It's a very general consideration because when you have a source of signal like as like as the case of a transducer, but whatever situation you can imagine, and this voltage, this signal is sent to a certain device that will use it. If the wire that brings the signal passes close to other points that are supplied with a suitable voltage, if the distance is short, a particular effect arises that corresponds to the presence of two quantity of charges, one in the wire that brings the signal and one in the wire or in the source of, let's say, voltage that is present in the environment and is close to the wire itself, separated by a dielectric. And this is, let's say, a situation that can be really modeled as a capacitor, because we have two quantity of charges that are separated by a medium that don't allow the flux, the passing of a current, but cannot be in opposition to the fact that every group of charge influences the other one. And this can be considered, that can be read as noise. So when we say that we have parasite capacitors in a whatever connection, we mean that basically we cannot exclude that that kind of wire passes close to another voltage or another electronic point that is supplied, and that this means that the voltage will influence the signal, not allowing perfect transmission of the signal itself from the generation point, in our case the transducer, to the point into which this voltage must be used or transformed or simply read. And this problem in particular, as we have seen, affects the voltage amplifier stage in the piezoelectric accelerometer conditioning network. The last group of accelerometers we want to take into consideration is the so-called family of the MEMS accelerometer. MEMSIC means a MEMS integrated circuit, that is a device made in MEMS technology. In other words, a system that is conceived to measure a movement made up with a silicon integrated device. But what does it mean, MEMS? MEMS stands for Micro Electromechanical System. That is an ensemble of all those elements, sensors, eventually actuators, electronic networks and circuits relative to sensors and actuators, carried out by means of a micro integration process on a silicon layer. Typically, in the case of such a kind of accelerometers, they allow a measurement in a very large and high level range of accelerations. They can go from 1G up to 100G. Consider that the accelerations of the driver on Formula One cars are around 5-6G in the worst case, and persons on space shuttles were at the starting phase no more higher than 8G. So 100G is a very high acceleration. Such a kind of device will allow the measurement of both dynamic, like vibrations, and static, like gravity acceleration. The resolution is very thin, lower than milli-G, at least at very low frequencies, and they are available in hermetically sealed with very low thickness, 2 millimeters, and with a temperature range that sweeps from minus 40 degrees up to more than 100. So the general idea about such a kind of devices is that they are very, very small, very low power consuming, due to the technology on which they are based, integrated circuit basically. Their weight is very low, so they are very suitable for all those applications that features wearing, portability, and embedding the measurement unit inside the process that must be controlled. MEMS technology is not only for accelerometers, but accelerometers in this case represent a good example of how the newest steps of the technology will bring all the transducers that we know and will oblige us to completely rethink the approach to the measurement and to the monitoring and to the control of a process. MEMS accelerometers that we will see are based on the heat transfer due to the spontaneous convection mechanism. In other words, they measure the modification in the heat distribution due to the acceleration. MEMSIC accelerometers are functionally equivalent to the MESS spring piston accelerometer that we have seen at the beginning, but in this case the moving mass is a gas bubble. This provides a very great advantage compared to the traditional solid mass accelerometers. First of all, the device doesn't feature dead areas due to the friction or other passive sources that spread energy like in other traditional transducers. Moreover, the transducer can resist to shocks up to 50,000 G with a significant reduction of damages and poor wastes during assembling. When we talk about spontaneous convection, we mean that a thin bubble of heated gas moves due to external forces like accelerations, decelerations, gravity, vibration, etc. In fact, cool air features a great density, a greater density than a hot one. If this last one is located close to a heat source, every movement or variation in the gravity will make the more dense cool air to push the hot away far from the center of the cavity. And onto this principle, the accelerometer made in MEMS technology is based. The situation is well represented in slide 56, where imagine that we have, as shown in the picture, a cavity, like an ampoule, for example, containing air that is characterized by two parts. Into the left part, some hot air is located, is concentrated, let's say. In the right part, instead, cool air is located. The hot air is red colored, instead the cool air is blue colored. Due to an external force, like that caused by an acceleration, the cool air, that is more dense, will compress the heat, the warmed air. So the internal symmetry will be modified accordingly to the same direction. Pay attention to the direction of the force and of course of the acceleration that will characterize the object on which the accelerometer is mounted. the force is directed towards the right side of the slide. Of course, internally into the accelerator unit, the movement will be in the opposite direction, as we already explained when we explained the moving mass accelerometer. Looking at the floor of the two cavities shown in the picture, we see two blocks called T1 and T2. They are temperature transducers, so they will monitor the temperature in the red area and the temperature in the blue area before and after the movement. Before the movement, the cavity is equally divided between the red part and the blue part, that is the hot air and the cool air. So the difference measured by the two transducers T1 and T2 will be a certain specific value. After the movement, we see that the blue part invades, due to its bigger density, the red part, what originally was the red part. So while the transducer T2 measures basically always the same temperature, the temperature of the part measured by T1 in this case significantly changes. So it is possible to understand by calibrating the measurement, that is by measuring several known temperatures and evaluating the output voltage provided by the two transducers, and by relating this to several movements whose acceleration is known. Okay, following such a kind of procedure, it is possible to perform the measurement of the acceleration, transforming it into the measurement of a difference in temperature that, due to the particular technology that is employed, can provide, can turn out into a very small and efficient and robust sensor. Of course, it is necessary to amplify the difference in voltage obtained by the two temperature sensors, but this allow us also to identify not only the entity of the acceleration, but also its direction, that is the direction of the movement. Because if T2 doesn't change the measure before and after the movement, and T1 instead shows a modification, clearly the direction is the one shown in the picture, that is towards the right part of the slide. Conversely, if T1 remains unchanged and T2 is modified, the direction will be opposite. And this can, of course, be applied even in the measurement of vertical accelerations or in the measurement of the acceleration due to inclinations. Figure 57 shows a real implementation of an accelerometer like the one that we have explained. In the previous slide, we have illustrated the general idea, the general principle. Now we have the possibility to look at the real practice implementation, where a unique heat source centered in the silicon chip is located internally to the same cavity we have supposed before. Two transducers of temperatures, like for example thermopiles in aluminum polysilicon, are located at the same distance on the two sides of the heat source. when the acceleration is zero, that is, the object is stopped, is not moving, the temperature of a bubble gas that is injected into the cavity through the heat source is, of course, the same on the two thermopiles, because it is equally distributed on the left part and on the right part. So the output of the two sensors will be more or less the same, and the measured voltage will be something that oscillates around zero. But clearly, when a strong acceleration perturbs the temperature profile due to the free convection of the heat, the situation will become asymmetric. In the figure shown in slide 58, an acceleration in this case in the opposite direction with respect to the previous example is shown. The temperature and therefore the voltages in output will be different in the two thermopiles. And the asymmetric temperature profile will allow us to measure the entity of the acceleration, but also the direction. Of course, the phenomenon is the same as before. The density of the cool air will make the heated bubble to move in the direction of the acceleration, the internal acceleration that is opposite to the external one, and this determines a difference in the temperatures measured by the two thermopiles. We will know how the thermopile are working. For the moment, let's say that this movement will change the resistances in the thermocouples of the thermopiles, and this asymmetry, this inhomogeneity, produces an output that is proportional to the acceleration. So we can skip to slide 59 that summarized the three steps. The first in the left picture shows the situation without no bubble gas injected into the cavity. The second central picture shows the situation into which the gas has been injected, but there is no movement at the moment. And the third one shows the asymmetric situation that is born due to the acceleration of the object on which the accelerometer has been mounted. General considerations can be done just to conclude, to summarize this overview on accelerometers based on MEMS technology. They are, of course, very promising for all those consumer electronics devices, like even smartphones, and of course, sensors. Examples of devices into which such a kind of technology has been employed range from the video games console to digital images stabilizers, fall arrestor sensors. Of course, as we have said at the beginning, the particular kind of technology allows a very efficient miniaturizability, and this is a benefit in terms of all those applications that features wearability constraint. Moreover, the technology is very cheap, and this means that low cost will imply a diffusion on the mass market. Critical issues. In case of automotive application, such a kind of accelerometers must be compliant with the shocks that could be very important, so they must feature shock resistance. resistance to high or low temperatures, and of course we are on board of cars or small moving objects, reduce the size. In consumer instead applications, many of the previous requirements are the same, but we have to add low power. Imagine smartphones. It is very undesirable to continuously recharge the smartphone. So we need devices on board that feature low power consumption. And accelerometers are one, MEMS accelerometers are one of them. Moreover, shock resistance, reliability, and the size, low size, are other constraints that must be assured by such a kind of technology. Several manufacturers has started in the last year production, design, in and the investments in this technology. Among the many you can find on the market, we remember Texas, Hewlett-Packard, Bosch, ST Microelectronics, Freescale, Seiko, Lexmark are one of the most famous ones, but you can find a lot of companies that are producing, exploiting such a kind of technology.